kneeling by my bed, folded hands and tilted head. I thank the Lord for my water and my bread. Thank you to be a part of God's flock of chosen sheep, waking from my slumber while the world is still asleep. Freedom loving, patriotic, deplorable bum. I reside in the States, but Scotland is where I'm from. Sometimes I feel defeated, but we will always stand tall. Fighting with my family, we go one, we go all. We may fall. Our Bibles and talks of bread and wine, indoctrinate our children, throw the world into decline. We the people need to stand firm and understand, without liberty and freedom, all we have is dirt and land. Holding the sword high, I'll stand firmly through the pain. What I have lost is what the wisdom I have gained. If you find me on my knees, it's not because I'm defeated. It was my prayer before the war, the only weapon I needed. Never waste the gifts that the Lord has so given. If at the end of my life, a decision you should make, I will be a servant and a warrior whose soul you will take. And we may fall, holding the line. Yeah, we may fall, but we'll be fine. The world will see the global crimes. Oh, the veil will lift in God's due time.
We are many nations and many cultures around the world. Together, we fight a war between good and evil. But we are united as one, as the children of God.
Good evening, everybody. I'm not gonna lie, a little bit nervous tonight. First time I've done a video show in a long time. So for those of you who are just joining us on Rumble, we've been on Podbean for a long time. We're on episode 579, and this is our first episode on Rumble. So this will be a little bit of a tester for this evening, and I'm glad that you all joined us, and you finally get to see. For those of you who don't know what I look like, here you go. Sorry, like I said, I had the face for radio. So this is gonna be exciting, guys. We're gonna go over a little bit of news. I'm gonna kind of acclimate myself to getting back into directing and doing the video work as I'm doing this. So hoping to have a guest on this evening. Jeff's not feeling too well, so just keep him in your prayers as well. So actually, before we even get going, I want to do a quick little prayer. I got something from Punky earlier. You guys know Punky Pewster, one of our sisters, and her father's not doing too well, and he's been dealing with some cancer or something for a while now, and he finally asked them to pull the plug. So we're just going to do a quick little prayer before we get going. So if everybody would please bow their heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for everything that you blessed us with. Thank you for the show. Just ask that you let everything go as smoothly as possible, dear Lord. We know there's going to be a couple of hiccups here and there, but we are ready for that, dear Lord. You asked us to expand the territory, and we have done so. But Father, right now, the most important thing is we need to pray for our loved ones. First, I would ask that you just answer the prayers for all the people that are praying for Steve Cusick, who is going through physical fitness right now, rehabilitation for his surgery that he had. And I just ask that he continues doing that. Let his pups come up there and see him. I know how much they help, and let him get literally back on his feet as soon as possible, dear Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you bless Punky Pewster and her family. Be with them during these times. Help the father when he does decide to go to pass away peacefully, dear Lord. Just accept him into your arms up in heaven. And dear Lord, just be with the whole family and help them through these times too. My heart goes out. My heart absolutely breaks for all that I'm hearing just from so many different people. And I know these are rough times, Father, but you are here for us as you always will. And I know that you're going to answer these prayers. We love you with all of our hearts. Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, so we're going to go over a little bit of news. Tonight's going to be a little bit shorter of a show because I still have some kinks to work out right in here. I kept on trying to set the show up, and it looked like it was going on without me. And literally, I set it up this morning for 9 o'clock tonight, and there was people sitting in there waiting. So I'm going to figure all that stuff out the evening, figure out how to set my moderators and my chat as well, and we'll get things going. And quick little reminder as well, tomorrow night we're going to have Patricia Silva, who was the woman that was kind of behind the boycotts at Planet Fitness, and a super nice lady. Going to be a phenomenal conversation with Steve Lundgren, my brother in arms, who was a Patriot Transition voice with me for many, many years. We did about 1,000 episodes. So it's going to be pretty cool as well, and I'm looking forward to getting things going. Tonight, we're just going to go through a little bit of news on things that I have set up. Going to work through the editing to see if you guys can see what I'm trying to show you. Obviously, I've got the camera working. I've got my bumper up there working. I can see. So you guys know, my name is Duncan McGregor. And then we're going to be going into some videos that I made a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I have not loaded those to Rumble. So unless you guys followed Payne's Angels on YouTube back in the day, you probably haven't seen these videos. They're my terrible attempt at comedy, basically making fun of the world events. And all of these videos that I made took place during the end of 2019 to the beginning of 2021. And you guys remember what took place during that time. Yeah, we had a pandemic and a lot of fear running around this place. So that's pretty much what I made fun of in these five different videos that I did. So if you guys are on Podbean, most of my videos that I make transfer pretty well without video. These are a little bit different because the visuals that I built kind of accompany what I'm talking about. So you may want to pop on over to Rumble if you get a chance. For those of you, just head on over to Rumble. Kilted Christian is what it is. You guys can click on the Kilted Christian and you'll be able to watch those videos. I'm going to play those after we do the news tonight. So first, we'll get into a little bit of news. So first things first, I was kind of appalled. There was so much going on with this eclipse, and a lot of people with their different theories, a lot of people putting out, you know, just these crazy theories. Some people have some pretty legit theories, but part of it was Operation CIA paid agitators that were putting this stuff out to kind of muddy up the waters in order to create a sense of confusion as to what was real and what was not. And I saw loads of videos as I was going through last night, just of some very weird anomalies from little cigar-looking ships. Some of them were airplanes, obviously. Everybody was pretty paranoid, so they were kind of seeing what they wanted to see. I saw, like, triple moons, but I also saw a lot of deceptive video. As an editor, I can look at something, and unless it's AI-generated, those are a little bit more difficult to tell. But one thing that I was noticing is a lot of people that were editing things deceptively. But like I said, they're trying to muddy up the waters in order to get people's attentions off things, because then eventually everything's a conspiracy. And we've seen over the last couple of years that the conspiracy theorists, whatever they call them, are hitting about 99% right now. That's other than the deception that people are putting out there. One of these things right here, I was kind of amazed. Listen to this. Eclipse fever is gripping Black Texans. While the event will cast a brief shadow on life in Texas, it sheds a light on scientific fields that have been mainly out of reach for Black folks. So they did it, folks. They found a way to make a solar eclipse about racism. And I'll be honest with you, I can't believe they didn't blame that one on Trump and Putin too. Big shocker, because they seem to blame everything on those two guys. But once again, they somehow managed to blame this one or to turn it into a racist thing. They just do not stop with the deception. So let me go ahead and I'll see if you guys can. I'm going to put my my screen up right now, so you should be able to see what I'm looking at, just to kind of do a little tester. So I've got my internet screen up. So anyways, next thing right here is that I bet you did not hear about this. So a container ship owned by a French shipping company, I talked about briefly last night, APL Kingdo, lost control in New York City Harbor. And I appreciate the message that I got on my Podbean last night telling me that this was New York, because I did say California and I was wrong about that. It was in New York. I just didn't get a chance to get to this actual thing to verify and to let you guys know for real. But anyways, this another boat or another ship lost control in the New York Harbor on Friday near Verrazano Narrows Bridge after losing power temporarily. So we're seeing more and more of these things. Fortunately, the tugboats actually caught this ahead of time, and there wasn't an issue. So it didn't end up hitting the bridge. There was like six tugboats. I had to tug this thing back in because it did lose the power. No differently than the bridge that was in over in Baltimore a week or so back. Things are happening so fast, I can't even tell if it was a week or 2 weeks ago. It's amazing how quickly the news moves any longer. So next, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to play this for you. I know I usually just tell you what these are saying, but this is just too good. So this right here is Sunny Houston. This is on The View. Listen to what, I'm not even going to set this one up. Just listen to this right here.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
the first time in like 100 years.
Two different kinds of cicadas
are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe. But maybe you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or something
going
is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens. And the eclipse. They've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse.
Wow.
We've got earthquakes.
Unbelievable. So apparently, solar eclipses. And earthquakes are now part of climate change. It is absolutely amazing where these people will take this. I mean, come on. What are they going to blame on climate change? There's nothing they're not going to blame on climate change. Matter of fact, I poke fun of that a little bit later in some of the videos that I'm going to be playing for you. But it's just a money scam. They've been doing this for years. You guys remember back in the 80s, it was hairspray. That's right. The women that were spraying all their hairspray were the cause of the ozone layer depleting and global warming. And now it's global freezing and whatever else they're going to come with next. But now apparently earthquakes and solar eclipse. Climate change. Man, we are just terrible to this earth, man. God must really despise us right now because we're just destroying this earth with absolutely everything and causing earthquakes and solar eclipses. So next, this should make your blood boil. 50-year-old male teacher giving your cell phone number to sixth graders. He sends them texts, songs, and inappropriate messages. It's reported to the school and the teacher is labeled as the victim. And the six-year-old kids are labeled as the suspects. Listen to this.
Imagine a 54-year-old man giving their cell phone number to your sixth grade child. Mm-hmm. So being a 54-year-old male teacher, giving your cell phone number to 4 sixth graders total. Mm-hmm. So they can call you anytime they need. Meanwhile, you are sending good morning text, good night text, how was your day text, sending songs that remind you of them. Mm-hmm. To me, this is very inappropriate. Very inappropriate. No school teacher, male or female, should be giving a student their number. period. It's very unprofessional. I think it's very tacky. I think it's enticing a minor, in my personal opinion. That is my opinion.
So unbelievable. So, I mean, so now the victims are the teachers that are inappropriately sending these messages, and the six-year-old kids are labeled the suspects. Like, this is unbelievable. This is where we're going. We had talked about this before. It's kind of a step-by-step-by-step process. They're just trying to indoctrinate the children. They're trying to desensitize the adults. And it's amazing how many people are following this. I mean, it started with the LGBTQ movement, and then they slowly moved into the transgender, and then, you know, people questioning their identity. Six-year-olds and parents allowing their six-year-olds to get their genders changed. This is crazy. And it's going to gradually work itself into where they try to legalize pedophilia. And that's coming, because I see people all the time now, a lot of the progressives that are like, oh, no, it's not there. They were born this way. And it's like, no, they weren't. This is a decision. Everybody knows it's completely wrong. Children are innocent. There's a reason that children can't smoke cigarettes until they're 18. There's a reason that you can't drink until you're 21. There's a reason that you can't even watch R-rated movies until you're 18 years old. So now apparently you can't do that. Kids can't make those decisions, but they're A-okay making decisions about getting their gender changed. And the kids don't have a mental disorder. It's the parents that have the mental disorder, because they're encouraging their kids. When we grew up, I mean, I think many of you guys are right around my age. I'm almost 50 years old. Or a lot of you. And for those of you who are not, this is what it was like back in the day. Girls were playing outside with the boys. They were playing football. They were playing capture the flag. They were playing rough sports. We were riding our bikes together. You know, in that case, every girl was a tomboy. Eventually, you get into middle school, high school, you stop doing those things. You start wearing dresses and putting on makeup, and they become your everyday average women. You know what I'm saying? So we were, many girls were the tomboys back then, but now, the moment that a little boy runs around in a tutu, and like, little kids like to play. They like to play dress up. It's nothing. You know what I'm saying? But the parents are making, he says, well, he picked the pink crayon, so he must be really be a girl. Same thing with the girls. The girls are playing football. They must want to be a boy. So the parents are encouraging this, and it's not the children that are doing so. And it's sad, because they get these gender changes, and then they go to these crazy identity crises, because their body, once they start going through puberty, they don't know what to do any longer. And then they start questioning it. And there's a high suicide rate amongst people that are getting their genders changed. For the transvestite, whatever you call them, the changing their genders, they go through these identity crises and they end up committing suicide. And the high death rate, they like to blame on conservatives or people that are against this. And it's like, look, most of us are just generally kind and polite people. If you are who you are and you come up and you're just having a normal conversation, chances are we're not going to say anything. You know, we're just going to be polite and nice, just like we are with everybody else. The problem is when you start trying to push everything on people, making them call you all these weird things, you know, or asking me to accept the fact that you identify as a goat monkey. It's not going to happen. And, you know, like I said, it's one thing to just carry on a conversation and be like a normal person. And that's the problem right now, is with the original, the OGs in the LGBTQ community, they just wanted to have rights, get married, and be left alone. You know, that's against what I believe as far as a Christian goes, but nonetheless, I'm not going to be rude or mean to them. The problem is when they're trying to force it on everybody, change it, indoctrinating the children in the school to where everybody wants to be a donkey goat. And, you know, this is gradually getting worse and worse and worse, to where many schools now are putting litter boxes in the bathrooms for kids that claim to be cats. And on and on and on, putting female hygiene products in male bathrooms. When is it going to stop? I hope that it stops soon. And, you know, I hope that it stops, I mean, because eventually it's going to stop soon. God's going to end up taking judgment at some point. But nonetheless, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And we were asked to protect the children. I think somebody in there earlier said, we're going to need more millstones. May have been wrong. We're going to need more millstones. yeah. It's getting and crazy. So next, we got a CIA officer admitting that they're setting up and entrapping conservatives like real Alex Jones while speaking fake news and monitoring those who engage it. And this is really, really sick. And I believe this is another undercover O'Keefe expedition. But nonetheless, like, you figured they'd know who all these people were at some point, but they don't. And they all get caught on camera. And once it's on camera, the word's out there. It's hard to hide this. But then the media comes in and does the blocking and then tries to change the narrative. Oh, no. What, you know, what he meant to say was, no, I don't need you to tell me what he meant to say. I think we all heard exactly what he said. But this is how the game's played right now, and it's just getting worse, especially with our media. We got next is Maddow. Rachel Maddow supports Biden dictatorial move against the U.S. Constitution and self-government. So once again, apologies, guys. I usually don't want to play these things, but you know, it just might as well hear it out of the monster's mouth.
The substance is straightforward and important. The politics are straightforward and important for President Biden. But just as important are the politics on the other side. Republicans already sued and successfully blocked one of President Biden's plans for forgiving student loans. After President Biden pivoted to use a different program to forgive more student loans, Republicans sued to stop that one, too. Now President Biden has announced this latest plan today in Wisconsin, and so new Republican lawsuits against that one are expected any minute as well. And just think about what that means. Just like step back from that for a second. Republicans are suing over and over again in multiple states. Republicans are suing to make sure that Americans have to pay more in student loans, to make sure that you have to pay more interest to banks on your student loans. That is what they are offering America in this election year. Isn't that what America most needs? For banks to make more money off people who took out loans to go to college? Isn't that really, you know, morally, isn't that a real justice issue for America?
It's unbelievable how they have no problem lying. And the thing is I think the big problem that people have right now is having to pay other people's loans off. I don't know about you. I think many of you probably experienced some higher education at some point. I went to school for two different degrees and I ended up paying everything. Like I paid everything as I went. Matter of fact, I worked a job during the day. I went to or during the third shift. And then I did maintenance, apartment maintenance into the afternoon when I was home. And then I did school the rest of the day. But I had one job that I took for apartment maintenance, which actually took care of my living facility. And then I made a little bit of money and that helped pay for the college. And then I had my other job, which helped me pay for the bills, pay for my books and the rest of my college. So I had everything paid as I went along. These kids right now are getting all of their debts relieved. How do you learn lessons? Guys, look, life is tough. Life's not fun. I don't like paying the bills that I have right now. As a matter of fact, every time I'm at a grocery store, I look at my receipt and I want to cry a little bit. And I think we're kind of all on the same page with that. Everything's getting expensive. But the thing is over the years, we learned how to be responsible adults. We learned how to pay. We learned how to cut back. We learned how not to go to concerts, how not to go to parties, and how to do simple things at home while you're trying to save up a little bit of money to pay off the debt that you do have. Exactly. And Suski says all they're doing is they're getting it's paid. It's free indoctrination. If I had a child, I would not be sending my kid to school at this point. I would keep my kid and tell him to go to a technical school or something, you know, go be a plumber, go be an electrician, be a welder, do something, you know, where you come home feeling good. I'll tell you right now, I've worked many jobs. I felt good working when I was working for the Stars, when I was working for the Spurs. I enjoyed that job. And I'd come home and I'd feel kind of good about it, but I never felt better than when I came home after doing a long day of roofing or doing sheetrock or something like that, you know, because you come home, got callus on your hands, you're covered in sawdust and sheetrock dust. You feel good. You earned a living. And they try to demean that and make those trade jobs or any job look like they're less than others. And that's not the case. Matter of fact, I have more respect often for those people that go out and work at McDonald's. You know, they're like, oh man, you're a 45-year-old man. Why are you working fast food? Look, respect. He's doing what he can to take care of his family. Same thing right now with these job numbers. You know, the job numbers just keep on going up. But if you really look into the job numbers, what are the job numbers about? Immigration or immigrants are getting a large portion of these jobs that are coming out right now. And then on top of that, the other rise in jobs are people going out and getting second jobs or part-time jobs. They've got no choice because everything got so expensive. They're having to work twice as much just to make sure their families are fed. How can you not respect that? Whether you're cleaning toilets, whether you're working in a fast food restaurant where you're a chef, or whether you're an attorney, it doesn't matter. As long as you're doing what you can to take care of your family, I have absolutely nothing but respect because you are focused on what you need to be focused on. And as this world goes, like I said, people look down on certain people. And we need to stop doing that. The society needs to come together and just start appreciating people. You know, the fact that they have a father at home who's willing to take care of their family, who's willing to work 1.5 jobs in order to take care of their family. And the sad part is, life wasn't meant to be that. God didn't create us to work, sleep, eat, repeat. You know, that's not what life is about. Life is about spending time with your family. You know, working a little bit, obviously we need to take care of ourselves, but we shouldn't have to work a job and a half to do it. Cause what's happening now? Pop has to work a job and a half and he doesn't get to see his children anymore. So he's saving up money to go to college. He's doing everything that he possibly can, you know, making sure that the house payment's paid, the gas is paid. They've got enough money for groceries. And he doesn't even get to spend that much time with the family that he's providing for, because chances are when he does get a day off or a couple of hours off, probably worn out and wanting to go to sleep, you know, and it's sad. Like I said, life was not intended to be this. And, you know, you have states like California, which are raising raising the minimum wage up to like $20. And it's, and I've said this a billion times, it's not a matter of raising the living wages, it's a matter of lowering the cost of living. But the inflation, the excessive spending of money, they're sending loads of money over to Ukraine, to Israel, to all these other countries all the time. Well, we've got homeless people here. Then we've got the immigration coming in through the border right now, going all over the country, and the states are providing for those immigrants and not for the people that have been in need. And, you know, I understand some people are homeless because they've got drug addictions. You know, we need to start getting some programs that gets these people off the street and gets them clean, and then get them into a situation where you can give them the clothes that they need to go to a job interview, get the job, work with the people. But the thing is our country doesn't care. What they want people to do is to rely on our government, because if we are self-sufficient, then they can't rely. They can't force us. We can't be slaves. And that's why they're changing the rules right now for the people that are having their own cattle at home, their goats, their chickens. Even right now, some of these places are trying to put in bills which make you register your chickens. If you've got like 6 chickens in your backyard, you got to register them, you know, for the bird flu. They're doing everything that they can right now to make us 100% rely on them. And the scariest part about this is eventually, what are we looking at? We're going to be looking at a central banking digital system, which is going to be coming through. And then we are 100% relying on the government, because you go and you plop a credit card down and want to buy another burger because you've already had one this week. They'll be like, no, we deny you your burger because you already had one this week. Or you go to a store to buy a Bible. No, we're trying to suppress Christian values so you can't purchase your Bible. You go to a store to buy a pew-pew. And they're like, nope, you're not going to happen. And they deny your card. You know, this is why we need to fight hard against any kind of system like this. I refuse to be part of a system that doesn't have a legal tender, the fiber of the fabric. That's what I want to feel in my wallet. I want to be able to pay for something without everybody in the world knowing what I just paid for, whether it be artillery, whether it be my food, whether it be camping equipment, whether it be emergency supplies for food. I want to be able to pay cash for that, have my privacy without the government, banks, and everybody else knowing what I just purchased. So, and like I said, we're getting closer and closer to that. Next, we got you. Speaking of the world sticking their hands in absolutely everything, we've got the United Nations declares war on dangerous conspiracy theories. The world is not secretly manipulated by the global elite. What a weird thing to say. What a weird thing to say. The world is not secretly manipulated by the global elite. It actually 100% is. I've been digging into this since I was about 15 years old. I thought I was kind of wrong in some areas. I thought that one party, at that time, I thought the Democrats were the freedom fighters. But like I said, I learned a hard lesson there. Came over to the other side, learned a hard lesson there. Like I said, we don't have anybody we can trust. It's an absolute uniparty. And that is the illusion. It's an illusion of choice. It's a two-headed coin. If you flip it on heads, you flip it on tails, it's still the same damn quarter. And this is the illusion that we get. None of them are on our side. And then the majority of the people that get into office are, you know, they say there's not an election, it's a selection. And it's starting to become more and more apparent. Every now and then someone sneaks through. And I feel like at some point we need to, you know, because I was working hard trying to build what we call the Patriot Party. Thinking, hey, this is a great idea. We need is another option. No, we don't need another option. We need less options. We need no parties. Let people dig into the candidate themselves instead of voting by the party. A lot of people are lazy. They don't know who they're voting for. They go to election day and they just go Republican vote, Republican vote, Republican vote, Republican vote, or the opposite, liberal, 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 liberal. Like I said, we need to start doing our own research on each individual, remove the parties out of it so that we're voting on the person and we're not just going to go in and randomly vote for the party. If we get to that point, I will happily do what I can with other people and start building websites where people are paid to actually go through and do bios on every single candidate, every single state, whether it be local, whether it be national or federal, just so people can go through and look and see everything about them, who they're connected to. I want to know if they're connected to the global elite. I want to know if they're connected to Soros. I want to know who they were connected with. I want to know that they're Christian families. These are things that are important. The problem is that a lot of people just don't do their research. And this is where we end up. We end up with people like Biden in office or Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi, these people that have been in there forever. And what have they done? Nothing. And voting for them again this time isn't going to, you know, people are like, hey, this is the day. This is the time where you vote Pelosi and she's going to do something good for you. Look, she hasn't done anything for you in like 30 years. She's not going to do anything for you now. And this is just weird. This one gets weirder and weirder to me every time that I see it. So we got John Fetterman. I really did not like that guy whatsoever. I thought he was going to be kind of like AOC or one of the extreme progressives. But he turned out to be more Republican than a lot of the conservatives that we have in Congress right now. Here's an example. John Fetterman blasts squatters, violent crime, and you know, I am not woke. He is standing out against all the squatters and stuff that are going on around this country right now. So for those of you that aren't too up on date about what this is, there are immigrants that are squatting in people's houses all over this country right now. And they have squatters' rights. So what happens is somebody will go on vacation for a couple of weeks, they'll come home, and they'll have immigrants living in their house. They call the police. The police come in and they're like, well, you're going to have to go to court to get this taken care of. So why don't you stay in a hotel room until you get this all taken care of? And then there's no reason that you shouldn't pay your mortgage still. So now these people, these immigrants are getting free housing in a house that isn't theirs, while the person that actually owns the title in that house are being forced to have other accommodations just so that they can live, money out of their pocket that they probably couldn't afford. I wouldn't know what would happen if I ended up in that situation. As a matter of fact, I had heard rumors about this last year before I moved into the house that I'm in right now. And I called Moonwolf, and Moonwolf was like, yeah, I'm looking for somewhere else to go and work. And I was like, would you be interested in coming over here to Kentucky? I was like, if you do so, you can, you're welcome to stay in the house. Just keep an eye on things. So he came here just to make sure. Now, we're never going to have that problem in this little town that I live in. Matter of fact, everyone around here, we got some good old boys and good old women right here. This is the wrong town to come into if you're going to be pulling any stuff like that. I wasn't sure about that at the time. So I'm thankful that I had someone actually come over here and watch the place for me, so I didn't end up in that situation. But it's happening more and more and more. And the people that own these properties are the ones that are losing their rights. And it's sad to see that way, to see this. Once again, the people that don't belong here that came in here illegally, and you're like, well, you're treating them like criminals. Well, they are criminals. I mean, A, they're squatting in a house that's not theirs, and they were criminals the moment that they walked across our border and didn't come in here legally. So that being said, I've got no problem with immigrants. We are a country of immigrants. My family came here from Scotland. I love the whole immigration thing, but they did it the right way. They came over here. They came to this country. They did it the right way. They became citizens of the country. That's how it should be. And a matter of fact, you know, the sad part is the immigrants that came over here to do it the right way actually understand our country's laws and the Constitution better than a lot of these kids, all the kids that are in school right now, because they're not teaching it. They want to come here. They want to assimilate into the country. The problem is everyone who's coming up here right now has no intention of assimilating. They want to destroy our nationality. And it's happening in other countries. See, that's one thing about America, is that we are a cornucopia country. We are a country made of other countries. But when you go over to Scotland and Ireland, those are the two that are the closest to home for me. Not literally, but you know, just in general. And they have their national, who they are, their culture, and it's being absolutely destroyed. Now, in order to go to Ireland or Scotland, if you want to experience the culture, the actual, you know, way that Scots are, the way that the Irish are, you've got to go out into the mountains. You got to go into these villages in order to see that. If you go into any of these cities, like Donegal, Aberdeen, Inverness, Glasgow, and so forth, This is what you're going to deal with. You're basically dealing with a billion other cultures in there that aren't assimilating, and they're changing everything. So it's the values have changed, especially over in Scotland. I can say that more than anything. Is that the main cities over there are becoming like our really progressive cities here, similar to California, similar to New York and so forth. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see. And I won't go back there until things are fixed. I, you know, have grown to love, absolutely love America. I've been back and forth my whole life. This right here is my home now. And I'm going to fix this problem right here. And hopefully, that's the thing, is that America's got a lot of power. If we fall, the world falls with us. And I literally mean that. If America falls and becomes a part of the New World Order, the rest of the world follows with us. If we stand strong, we can change this game. The problem is that people need to step up and start doing something. And I'm not saying go to violence. I know a lot of people are kind of getting to that point. There are people that are literally ready for revolution right now. But we need to get out. We need to start protesting. We need to start being seen. We need to start doing everything that we can in order to let our country, our government know that we're not going to take this any longer. And, you know, bit by bit, I'm watching other countries that are standing up more than we are. Like when you see, and I don't get me wrong, I love France, but, you know, France isn't known for necessarily, you know, I mean, except for the revolution that they had, but for the most part, America's been the tough ones. And France is stepping up. You've got other European countries that are standing up. You have instances in Canada where they're standing up. I thought Americans were going to be leading this worldwide revolution, and we're not even there yet. We're not even, I would say we're following, but we're not even following yet. A lot of us are upset. A lot of us are angry, but a lot of us are also afraid to start being vocal, to start stepping up and doing what we need to do, because we don't want to end up in prison. We don't want to end up in jail. They use January 6th for that one reason and that reason only, and that is to keep us thinking that no matter what we do, we're going to get in trouble and we're going to end up in jail like all these other people. It was basically a finger wag and a lesson to all of us. You know what? We don't need to be afraid anymore. I want to go back to, you know, John the Baptist and some of the other figures, disciples and apostles in scripture. They knew. They were like, okay, well, I'm in jail now for standing up for Jesus Christ. I'm going to make the best of it. And they did. We need to do that right now. We need to step up and not be afraid. And if we do end up in prison, just be Cooey Griffins. Step up, start reading scripture, you know, spreading the gospel to other people. Like, take advantage, seize that moment like many others have in the past. You know, I had a conversation the other day with someone that was, you know, I don't believe that Jesus died on that cross. And I was like, oh yeah? Well, why don't you go through and look at how all of the disciples died? They were skinned, they were beheaded, they were strangled, they were hung on crosses, they were beaten, they were tortured. And why did they do that? Because they refused to do anything but stand by Christ and talk about how he died on that cross. They were willing to give their lives to make sure that the world knew that Christ died on that cross, and not only that, that Christ rose again. So tell me how many people are willing to give their lives for a lie. I can't name one person that would be willing to give their lives for something they knew was a lie. So all those people that were sacrificed, that lost their lives in very horrible ways, standing up for Jesus, they wouldn't have done that unless they absolutely knew for sure that what they were saying was 100% legit. And that's the thing, is we were warned that we'd be a time where we are persecuted as well. And it may end up coming to that. But as Braveheart said, are you willing to die in your own beds many years later, rather than coming here today and fight for our freedom? I just summarized that. But that's the thing. I'm not willing to just die on my bed many years from now, knowing that our country, that our world is going in the direction it is. I would rather die in a battle than die on my own bed as a wimp, as a coward, and absolutely doing nothing. So moves on here is that we've got John Brennan. You guys remember old John Brennan? He was the leader of the CIA at one time. So John Brennan, who told you that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake, is now saying that Donald Trump, to greenlight Putin's destruction of Ukraine. This is what the ex-CIA chief claims. The same one that was trying to tell you that Hunter's laptop wasn't real is now trying to gaslight everybody into telling you that if Trump becomes president again, he's going to give Putin the permission to go in and destroy Ukraine. No. There's a big difference in the president we've got right now, the resident and the president that was, that we had, Trump. They respected Trump. They were scared of Trump because he was a loose cannon. I mean, look, a lot of people don't like him because he's that way. But at the same time, when your enemy doesn't know what you're willing to do, they're not going to do anything. They're going to be a little bit more cautious about the moves they make. Unlike the resident we've got sitting there right now, the world doesn't care. They laugh at him. They make fun of him. I joked about this, but Mexico is strong arming our resident in chief right now. Mexico, come on. This is where we are right now. Mexico. I really hope, I still don't think we're going to have an election. I hope we end up with that at some point. Things just seem to be getting a little more chaotic. And I know that the closer we get to the elections, the Democrats are going to get a little bit more desperate, and Lord knows what they're going to end up doing. But so next, and this is just absolutely sad. We talked about the vaccinations, the dangers of it. I was talking about that live over and over and over again, just trying to get people just to think about it, do a little bit of research. I'm not saying don't go get it. I'm just saying do your research so you know what you're getting into. And a lot of people were so afraid that they went out and got the shots. A lot of people were, I don't even know if I can say that on Rumble. We'll see. I guess if we get my show denied, I'm going to get my first flag right off the bat. So nonetheless, is a lot of people, we talked about saying that we weren't going to be able to see the repercussions of this, the dangers of this, until like 4 or 5 years later. But we're kind of reaching that point right now. And we're seeing people that are having seizures, Bell palsy, myocarditis, a lot of heart issues, just all kinds of different things. That's where you're seeing a lot of the people over in Britain, where soccer and around the world where soccer's real big, dying on the pitch or the field. And the reason they're doing that is because, unlike many sports like baseball, you know, in the sports you can eat and play the game, soccer, they run roughly 9 to 11 miles a game average. I mean, because they're constantly running sprint, run sprint, run sprint. There's not much walk around time, which is why they're having the biggest problem over most sports, is because of how much cardiovascular it takes in order to play that weapon. So they're dying on the pitch. But listen to this. Cancer rates are rising in young people due to accelerated aging, according to highly troubling new study that was just put out. This came out on Fox News tonight. And we've talked about this. We knew this was coming. Fauci needs to go to jail. And here's the thing. This is what got me. It wasn't the cancer rates, because we knew that was a possibility, but it was the accelerated aging that really got me, because this was the mRNA. It was some new technology. They're calling a vaccine, but it wasn't a vaccine. It was literal nanotechnology or whatever else they were putting into your body, trying to alter it. And it ended up having an opposite effect. And it's literally changing people's genetics to the point where they are accelerated aging and high and dealing with a higher cancer rate than ever before. Kids shouldn't be getting cancer. Adults shouldn't be getting cancer. They didn't have cancer hundreds of years ago, but what do we have different now? All the food, the candies, the drinks that we purchase from the store have so many harmful chemicals in them. It's ridiculous. And, you know, if we have anyone here who's listening from Great Britain, you guys can vouch for me. If you were to compare an American ingredient list on any kind of food, cereal, let's just talk about cereal, compared to what's over in Britain, the list is short in comparison, because there are certain things that are outlawed or illegal over there. All those processed food, the chemicals, the dyes, these things aren't allowed in there. America allows you. You see, the FDA is supposed to be watching our butts and taking care of us, right? No. They're not. They're just telling us what we can eat, what we can't eat. And then, And then we've got all of the stuff that's coming from our cell phones, which is way terrible. You know, we had the, you know, it was bad enough a couple of years ago, but every time that they go to a new system, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we're walking around with these things, these phones, like right next to our heads. You know what I'm saying? Or many people put them right next to when they sleep in bed. So we're constantly getting waves. We had discussed this a while back, and I'm more sure of it than ever. Back in the 60s and 70s, when they were trying to remove lead paint from everyone's house, say, no, you can't have that. It's dangerous. Kids are eating paint chips and they're dying. I'm convinced right now that it had nothing to do with it being poison, except for, what do they use when you go to get an x-ray? They use lead, because the lead blocks off all the radiation from getting into your body. So that also keeps signals, phone signals, and the ability to kind of snoop into people's homes. They can't do that if your walls are covered in lead. My opinion, that was the real reason they ended up getting rid of lead. No different when I was talking about a probation. I think I mentioned this last week, or a prohibition. What was prohibition about? Was it because they care so much about us that they didn't want us poisoning ourselves? No, it was because people were figuring out how to take processed alcohol and run their homes, their cars, and all this stuff off of basically processed alcohol, you know, which the bootleggers are doing. We can't have that because then the elites aren't making money off of what they call fossil fuels, but basically petrol. They can't make money off of that. So what do? They make something absolutely illegal. So you can't have any alcohol whatsoever to consume, even just when you're trying to kick back in the afternoon and have a pint at the end of the night. Nope, that's not going to happen. And all because they don't want people being self-sufficient, just like I mentioned earlier. And like I said, every day they end up trying to take a little bit more of our rights away. And we cannot allow this to happen. So next right here, we may as well call Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House. We may as well call him Nancy Pelosi. He's no better than Nancy Pelosi. He's no better than McCarthy, who he replaced. So Mike Johnson, check this out, will delay the transmission of Mayorkas's impeachment articles to the Senate. Yeah, he's delaying this. But you know what he's not delaying? He's not delaying bills in order to get more money sent over to Ukraine and more money sent over to Israel. America doesn't need that money. Let's just send it overseas. See, that's what's important. And remember, he came in promising that wasn't going to happen. As a matter of fact, he specifically said, exactly, DJ, I think they did get to him. He specifically said, I will not give any money to overseas funding until we get our border fixed. That never happened. And then that crappy bill that they tried to push through, the omnibus or whatever it was, the border bill, had very little to the border, and any money that was allocated over to the border wasn't to keep people on the other side, wasn't to incarcerate people. It was literally there to put more people in so they could process them quicker and bring them to our country. That's not fixing the border issue. I spent a month and a half down at the border. If you guys recall, this was a couple of years back. I saw firsthand what was going on. And it got way worse. I saw their staging areas, the same areas that they always film on television to make it look like it's nothing but families coming over here. But you work your way a little bit further north from Del Rio up in the Eagle Pass. What do you see? You see the reality. You see nothing but like 1,000 guys with like maybe 3 girls and a kid. That's what you see. So they're coming into our country. I don't know why. I've got my theories on it. A, for the census. B, to vote for Biden. But I also believe that they're here for, some people are here for more nefarious reason. They're sleepers that are just waiting for their go call. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But next time, instead of exactly terrorism. So next time, instead of seeing Black Lives Matter and Antifa running around causing carnage, because it's not going to happen again. People have tired of those riots going on everywhere. That won't happen again. People, patriots will go out there and stand against them, but they're going to end up using sleepers right here, probably armed, probably going to end up being the UN soldiers at some point. That's my theory. Like I said, take it for what you want to. But nonetheless, we can't let this happen. So next we got, FISA requires members of Congress to be notified if they're investigated by the FBI, but the government can spy on Americans without their knowledge. See, isn't it funny how that works? All of the crooks get a heads up when they're being investigated. Unlike us, we don't get that. We get told what to do. We get told how to do it. They get to look into our background, look into our phones, sneak into our televisions and our computers, do whatever they want to illegally, and we have no idea. But the criminals, they get a heads up. Just like the Good Samaritans that are over trying to go against some of the criminals. They see somebody doing something wrong, somebody punching a woman in the face, beating them up. They step in. They end up the ones in jail without bail. The ones who did the punching, not so much. Those guys end up getting away with everything that they want to get away with. And they end up having no bail. They're back on the streets. And guess what they're doing again? The same thing they were doing that they went to jail for to begin with. So GOP-led Senate panel details ties between 2016 Trump campaign and Russia. Oh my goodness. Are we still on this? Yeah, apparently we are. So they're still trying to maintain the lie of the Steele dossier, which was largely incorrect, they're saying that it was largely correct. So furthermore, Dew seems not to understand that rhinos aren't actually conservatives. They're much less on our side than they ever were before. And they're still trying to push the whole Steele dossier Russian collusion thing, which has absolutely been debunked 100 times over. But here's the problem. The news moves so fast that people can't catch up. And then so many things are happening in one day that they forget what happened a year ago. So they're falling for the same tricks all over again. Not the majority. The majority of our country is waking up pretty darn quick. All they're trying to do right now is to keep the sleepers sleeping. And by basically regurgitating the same news over and over and over again. And I know I've said a lot of negative news tonight, but there are some good things that are happening as well. Right here is a great example. Louisiana GOP lawmakers advance a bill similar to Texas that would allow police to arrest and detain illegal immigrants. States need to start stepping up. Texas right now, I left Texas not too long ago, and they're starting to do some pretty good stuff now. One of the things that I loved is passing a bill to stop to stop planes from seeding our skies or dumping chemtrails. Awesome. Tennessee just did the same thing. The rest of the states need to step up and do the same thing. And once again, how long will we call conspiracy theories for this? And now they're passing bills banning this stuff? Nobody would waste their time banning a conspiracy theory in a bill. And then right here, guys, there are a couple of curse words in here. You guys are going to get as angry about this as I did. So this right here, this is stage 4 derangement, Trump derangement syndrome. So in case you want to see what mental illness looks like, here you go.
As soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces and say, now, I'm the king of the fucking world.
Oh, man.
You will bow down, bitches. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this shit. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Of course you do. Every time you look in the mirror, you know exactly what mental illness looks like. This is just absolutely crazy. Mimo, you hit the nail on the head. She is demonized. She reminds me of Maxine Waters and all these other crazy women, Pelosi, the ones that get just so crazy. And she was. She looks possessed. She sounds possessed. And she goes, I know what mental illness looks like. Yeah, I absolutely do. If I looked in the mirror and saw this every single day, I would know what mental illness is too. Only problem is it's a little bit worse than mental illness. This is straight up demonic possession. And man, she looks like she is a demon, out of question. Once again, our fair and balanced media. So senior editor at NPR employs 87 Democrats in editorial positions, 0 Republicans in the D.C. newsroom. And it's not surprising. All hands on deck. Anybody like some of the really good journalists and Catherine Herridge and some of those that are out there, they start putting out too much truth, they get the boot. Tucker Carlson, same way. Go back and forth on him, but his information that he's been putting out is pretty good once those chains came off. Thing is you start putting out truth, they can't have that anymore, and they'll give you the boot post-haste. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. So the closer we get to the election, the more we're going to see of this. Fox News is about to turn into the most liberal organization you've ever seen, and I'm literally already watching it. My mother was watching Arthel on Fox this weekend, and man, I just got sick to my stomach listening to her talk to the guest. The guest was speaking sense, and journalists, they're not there to tell you. They're there to give you the news. They're not there to give you an opinion, but she was literally trying to tell her guest that he was wrong, that he didn't know what he was talking about. That's not what they're supposed to do. They are supposed to bring us the news, fair and balanced, let us make the decision. That's what it's all about. But instead, the news right now, because of the Smith-Muth Act, which was put through by Obama back in the day, propaganda is 100% illegal. And my mother asked all the time, like, how are they allowed to do this? Technically, it's legal. And until, you know, somebody comes in and changes this, it's going to continue this way. I ask myself over and over again, why didn't Trump executive order against the executive order that was put in by Obama and change the Smith-Muth Act? But here's my theory on this. We need to change this country. We need to clean it up from the bottom all the way to the top. It all needs to come down. The temple needs to fall. It needs to be rebuilt. But you have to get the people on board first. And the only way that you can do that is to let the people see how bad things can get. And I believe that's pretty much why he let this continue, because nobody has woken up more people than this administration. And it's the same exact thing with the news. People are starting to see how willing and how easily they lie. So they're starting to wake up to that too. We need to get to the point now where we're not relying on other people to do everything for us. We're not relying on other people to bring us the news. We need to start being more diligent, digging in, doing our own research, figuring stuff out. That's as much as I despise the internet and what the bad that comes from it. We've taken the enemy's weapon. We've got information at our hands. And once you figure out how to find the truth, it's 8 pages back on Google. When I go to Google something, I don't start on page one. I literally click, 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 like 8 pages back where the real news is, where they hide it. You know what I'm saying? Because they want what they want you to see to pop up first. And really, I don't know if there's any good search engines out there anymore, because I try to go to them all and they all seem to be just as bad anymore. Because if you do have one that was a good at one point, what do they end up ultimately doing? They end up changing everything. Somebody ends up coming in, the elite BlackRock Vanguard, purchasing it and then going back to the same thing that Google's doing right now, digging in, keeping our information and so forth. So this one's crazy too. And I think we need to look at the time real quick. Okay, cool. So I'm going to start our videos here in a moment. There is a mayor over in Chicago who is corrupt as sin. As a matter of fact, when the House was putting through something to get them to start an investigation on this woman, she vetoed it. She literally vetoed an investigation into herself. Talk about compromised. So then the people of that particular city over in Illinois came out just absolutely outraged, and they were upset about it. And they were like, we'll take care of this. So what did they do? They hired former Chicago mayor Beetlejuice. Lori Lightfoot was appointed to investigate the corruption allegations against Mayor Tiffany Henyard of Dalton, Illinois. That's a suburb over in Chicago. So they literally hired the worst mayor in Chicago's history, who was corrupt as sin herself, to come in and investigate the other corrupt mayor of another little city over in Illinois. And they're paying her $400 an hour to do it. This woman's not worth minimum wage, and they're paying her $400 to go snooping into everything. Finally, a Daily Mail comes through. What you can and can't eat amid America's bird flu outbreak. So they literally have a list. I'm just going to name a couple things. They're saying that you need to avoid steakhouses, salad dressing, even some of your favorite desserts. See, they're already telling you what you can't eat. They're starting to put the fear. This is the 2024 version of the 2020 pandemic. Instead, this time they're not pushing some crazy COVID thing, which was ultimately, you know, my opinion, just the flu. What they're doing now is they're pushing the bird flu, avian flu, in order to get people. Exactly. I see you guys eat Z bugs. That's exactly what they're trying to do, is they're setting up to eat Z bugs. And I told you last night, if I eat a bug, it's because I'm like crashed in a plane somewhere, survived, and need to eat bugs in order to live because I have no choice. But I'm not going to sit in my comfort of my own home and eat bugs because the government's telling me to do so. So we need to make some changes. All right, guys. So I told you tonight was the I wanted to do a little bit of testing and so forth. So I kind of set up some of my older videos, and many of you have not seen these because I have not loaded them up on Rumble yet. I have a bunch of my videos. Matter of fact, I think I've only got 50 videos on Rumble, and as Payne's Angels, I've done 130 videos total. So I still have a long ways to go. It just takes a while to load these things. But I have not loaded any of these videos. So most of you, unless you were following Payne's Angels over on YouTube from the very beginning, have not seen these. So I'm going to play these videos for you. I've got 5 of them. They're about 5 minutes apiece. So I'm going to run through them bit by bit. If you're not on Rumble at this point, try to head on over to Rumble. Because like I said, most of the videos that I do are, you know, you can listen to the audio and still get an impact and understand what it's about. This one right here kind of requires the visuals. I mean, it still has understanding to it, but like I said, the visuals kind of reinforce what I'm talking about. So if you guys want to head over to Rumble, even if you don't have an account on Rumble, I still believe that you have the ability to see. You just can't chat and like and so forth like that. But I'm going to play them. And if you guys are staying over here in the Podbean area, I hope it manifests in the way that it should, and you guys enjoy this one. I called this series Deep Thoughts, or Not So Deep Thoughts. with Payne's Angels. Here we go. Many scriptwriters will tell you that comedy is the easiest way to swing and miss. And on a comedy team, I'd be the one picked right before the kid that couldn't see, talk, or hear. However, when it comes to waking people up, music and comedy are the easiest ways to take the big red pill. Although I can compose film scores, I certainly do not have the rhythmic and lyrical talent of my brother in arms, Severe Anon, with red pill music. Although I am hilarious inside my own head, I'm also the guy that will laugh at fart jokes and whoopee cushions. I will always be the writer that has inside jokes that very few may notice, but it will always make me laugh when I see them. Just like these shameless shoutouts I do for Stymie in every video I do regarding levity. Although I am certainly not qualified to make anyone laugh, it's still much safer than me cooking you dinner over conversation and conspiracy theory. The point is, we should never stop trying to make each other smile, laugh, or blush, which is why I bring you another edition of Completely Random Deep Thoughts with Payne's Angels. Before we have the right to laugh at anything else, we must first be able to laugh at ourselves, which is why I will always find humor in Scottish prostitution and bovine linguistics. Just like I can find parody when I'm called racist for being a Caucasian Trump supporter, knowing that my best friend Cifuentes is getting a bigger chuckle right behind me. When it comes to humor, I will often sit blank trying to find laughter in the midst of such media turmoil, but then I remember that I will always find laughter sometime within the next week thanks to that same media turmoil. Today, Bernie takes his supporters money, hope, and faith. And now Bernie is endorsing a president that did not even realize he was running for president. Some people have profound thoughts, like wondering if Eric Swalwell passed vapor on CNN and no one was in the airports to hear it, would it make a sound? I myself am not that deep of a thinker. I wonder things like, if Congress has accomplished this little with the hundreds of thousands we already paid them, if we gave them that extra $40,000 they asked for, would they serve the people even less? Sometimes I ask myself, where is Hunter? And was he around when Epstein didn't kill himself? Some things that happened do not seem humorous at the moment, but we met with laughter at a later date. When I have a bad day, I enjoy the video of this dog talking for a laugh.
You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
When I have a really bad day, I just watch this video of Eric Swalwell's flatulence on live TV and laugh to myself knowing that we just got more truth from his bottom than we ever did from the top. When I feel like I failed and get down on life, I simply watch Jerry Nadler or Adam Schiff to remind myself that rock bottom was a whole lot deeper than I realized, and then that pit will be even deeper next week. Sometimes I wonder why people found it so hard to believe a Trump-hating liberal with an agenda and no proof, and then I remember the Democrat women with no agenda and multiple proofs, and how they have just muddied up those Me Too waters for others. When I feel stupid for not speaking multiple languages fluently, I show the world how brilliant I am by effortlessly translating the forbidden dead language of drunken Pelosi. I wonder why a virus has everyone freaked out when it seems to have been the cure for everything else people used to die from. When I get stressed thinking about the lies and false history we've been taught, I lose my breath giggling when I realize that the dumbest kid in school will be more qualified to teach history than the valedictorian once the truth comes out. Whenever I talk to friends about considering home education, I show them AOC videos as examples of the dangers of a failed education. When I teach children the importance of education, I show them these same AOC videos as examples of the danger in failed education. I then show them videos of this smart little girl, who we all agree, despite her age, would still beat AOC in an election. When I go to the polls disappointed in the conservative representation, I just picture my city run by a Democrat. Sometimes I wonder if having age restrictions on firearm purchases is a violation to the shall not be infringed portion of our right to bear arms. Then I think we should lower the age restrictions to 7 months prenatal to ensure these rights were met from birth. I believe this could also lower the abortion rate substantially. I ponder why, when I want to sit down and read books to strangers' kids, I have to borrow my sister's dress and put on makeup so that it's not creepy. I wonder why people look at me funny in Walmart for sniffing soaps and bottles, but it's acceptable for Joe Biden to sniff the soap directly from ladies' hair. But I admire that Joe's bad days are never longer than 10 minutes before he forgets. That's right, folks. 2020, the year of being required to wear a mask in bank, COVID-positive fruit, socialism, viruses, toilet paper shortages, lockdowns, and murder bees. Such a crazy year that the military admitted the existence of alien life, and no one even cared. So I have not done any of those in a long time. As you guys can see, I have an extremely very sarcastic sense of humor, a little bit dark. But the world's a pretty dark place at this point, and there's so much craziness going on. And let's face it, I don't write the jokes. I just find them on the news. And it's funny, like I said, any day you go to the news and it just seems like a joke. Exactly, Muffet Top Matt. And it is sad because the world's become, it's the line between reality and parody is just completely gone. And I can't tell which is which any longer, which is why I love making these videos. So let's get to the next one. My brother-in-arms and fellow patriot Stymie often reminds me the importance of levity during times of stress. So I bring you Deep Thoughts with Thane's Angels. I am grateful that there are other colorblind people that find the LGBTQ flag insensitive to the spectrum challenge. I am grateful that Google was generous enough to document all of our information in case we ever forget. I am grateful that our government decides what is best for me, so I don't have to worry about trivial things like personal freedom and liberty. Although I would rather them just tell me where I want to eat for dinner. I am grateful I have toilet paper, but will be more grateful when I don't have to use one ply twice. I am grateful mainstream media realizes that Trump is the source of every problem they've had since birth. I'm glad that the liberals constantly remind me that men, women, black, white, brown, and green people are different, so I don't have to bother thinking that we're the same and waste my time on such selfish things like unity. I am grateful that somebody, somewhere, knows where Ruth Bader Ginsburg is. I am grateful that the news networks all have a virus death counter, so I don't have to panic every 5 minutes fumbling through my phone trying to find it myself. I am grateful that I never want to go anywhere and touch anything ever again. I'm grateful the young man at the counter yelled at the cashier for touching his ear, but was relaxed enough when it came time to use his credit card and punch in his PIN number to the germ-infested touchpad. I'm also grateful that the same man probably uses his phone while sitting on the toilet and washes his hands right before texting his Bernie bro. I'm grateful that Nancy Pelosi cares about me so much that she wants to make sure I have a bunch of new friends from other countries. Even more so, she doesn't want me to get sick and make sure that all those illegal friends are insured so that I don't have to be. I'm grateful that the Democrats care about me enough to take away my rifle so they don't accidentally burn myself on the barrel. I'm grateful Hillary Clinton reminds me daily that she's still not my president. I'm grateful for all the Twitter accounts with only 32 followers selflessly using their page, not to tweet, but in kind remind us under every Trump post how wrong we are. I'm also grateful those same accounts don't waste my time with pointless logic and facts. I am grateful for realizing how utterly naive I have been my whole life, assuming that everyone was either male or female, and now I contemplate how the hell I missed it in my 3 years of biology. I'm grateful that the House of Representatives appreciates my vote so much that they're trying to pass a bill so that I can vote by mail 6 or 7 times. I'm grateful our Congress is thinking about possibly maybe allowing us to have a few dollars back from the trillions they've taken from us. And finally, I'm grateful that Epstein still didn't kill himself. I've had a lot of fun making these levity videos, as they are definitely a nice break from the media-driven anxiety. As long as all of you are enjoying them, I will keep making these to break up the seriousness of my other videos. I am so thankful for all of your support, and I look forward to being more interactive with you after May. So to honor the many requests and kind comments, I bring you another edition of Not So Deep Thoughts with Thane's Angels. Am I the only person that finds it hilarious to know that the Latin word for left is sinistra, which also means sinister or evil? If my facts don't matter because I'm conservative, would those same facts become true if I register Democrat? I was pretty intrigued such a young girl could be such a renowned environmental expert. I was even more amazed to find out that she was an expert in disease control. But I can't tell you how excited I am for next week's seminar to learn more about her expertise on male testicular cancer. Speaking of testicles, I think Lindsey Graham should subpoena Obama's purse, but we all know that'll never happen, since the testicles he needs to do it are in that same purse. With the quarantine pushing more and more single people to online dating, I wonder how many conservative men and women swipe left when they see the word Libra because their brain processed it as liberal. If a fart can break through pants and trousers, what keeps a virus from entering our cloth mask? I used to be wary of walking alone in public with a Trump shirt on. Now I can wear it proudly and publicly, knowing without submissively wearing my sissy shield, no liberal will get within 6 feet of me. If they make that move, I just sneeze. Where some think just wearing a mask is adequate, I decided to build a fence around my entire house to keep out birds and to make sure that virus doesn't sneak in. While the governments are forcing citizens to wear a mask for their own safety, I can't help but wonder if they really just found a way to tag the flock and separate the herd, identifying the sheep that figured out the border collie never bites. If Obama and Hillary's crime goes unpunished, will government change the Pledge of Allegiance to say, liberty and justice for all, except for? I don't know about you, but when I see Nancy Pelosi's House bill, I get so mad at seeing all the non-coronavirus-related requests, like money for non-citizens, state bailouts, electoral alterations, a new hat for Wilson, shoes for Schiff, and a braver belt for Nadler. If a gunslinger's ability was measured by the speed of me getting to my remote and flipping the channel whenever I see Donna Brazile or Juan Williams on Fox, there would be no man faster than me in the Wild West. When I hear about all the white privilege, I wonder why all those years ago when I chose to be white, why I didn't also choose to be privileged. I mean, what can you do? Hindsight's 20/20. If LGBTQ is all-inclusive, why didn't they also include straight? Why didn't the other 200 genders get upset when the government only handed out stimulus checks to men and women? Are there still only two genders amongst animals? Why have I never heard of a dog that associates with a three-toed sloth? Does anyone else wonder if we'd already be dead if Hillary had become president? Does anyone else agree that a virus, lockdown, economy drop, murder hornets, job loss, and an empty bank account is still better than a Hillary presidency? Am I the only one that has the They Might Be Giant song twisting in the wind playing in my head every time I see Hillary Obama or hear the word treason? Why did the country have to be shut down to save lives, but Planned Parenthood was allowed to stay open to take them? If Walmart is safe enough to shop, is it also safe enough to hold church service in the bread and juice aisle on Sundays? Unlike Pinocchio, instead of a growing nose, Schiff's eyes become larger with every lie, just hoping that one day he won't be just another lying plastic bug-eyed Soros puppet, but a real human bug-eyed lying Soros puppet. If facts are no longer important to Congress, would this set precedence for me to put whatever I wanted to on my resume to get a better job? Of all the times that I've sat down reflecting on how we can fix our government, it never once occurred to me that the answer was electing America-hating women to Congress. I completely get it now. The government used our money so well in the 80s to stop global freezing that they fixed it too much, and now they have to throw more money at global warming to even it back out. And now I feel like a jerk for just automatically thinking it was an extortion scheme. While many became concerned about the murder hornets, I was just relieved that there weren't any laser-shooting lemurs, acid-spitting bush babies, or my worst nightmare, the gap-toothed hip-hop-a-rockopotamus. Are the ladies that always seem to be outside every store yelling at people for not wearing a mask paid, bored, or just really angry? In the Obama marriage, Barack is the one who complains about the toilet seat being left up. Think about that. If Michelle Obama somehow became president, America will have the first black president to stand when they pee. This would also give Hillary the opportunity to still be the woman that breaks that glass ceiling. So when people vote for Nancy Pelosi, do they just say, I know she failed me for the last 30 years, but I have a really good feeling that this is the year? And Adam Schiff is no better. It's like paying $20 for a scratch-off ticket. This top prize is 50 cents. I'd like to end this by saying that if anyone who has seen those allegedly edited, stabilized, single-camera, uncut videos and still think Joe Biden is a creepy hair snipper, it's just a conspiracy theorist. I mean, isn't it obvious that everyone's creepy hair is just sniffing Joe Biden's nose? I figured with all the insanity in the media involving this election, most of you were at some point surrounded by pompous liberals gloating about a Trump loss that is not yet to occur. As someone who was rather good at reading the room, I thought perhaps you all could use a little chuckle. Recklessly and without much thought at all, I decided to bring you another desperate attempt at not-so-deep thoughts with Payne's Angels, Election 2020. After years of having to take my mask off on Halloween to enter a store, I was not allowed to enter a store this year for refusing to wear a mask. It kind of felt similar to when this all began and I stood outside of my bank for 10 minutes, mask in hand, wondering what the heck I was supposed to do. For those people that voted for Biden because Trump was going to destroy our lives, do you think he was just waiting for a second term to do it? Did all the people that voted for Biden but didn't vote for a Democrat congressman or senator not have time after standing in a line for 3+ hours? If I buy a lottery ticket and declare myself the winner, am I the winner, or do I have to go to Fox first to get him to declare me the winner? If the most successful part of Biden's campaign was telling us how Trump failed without telling us how he would succeed, how utterly terrible was the least successful part of his campaign? Seriously, more dead Republicans voted for Biden than live Democrats showed up to his rallies. I do not look down on Joe one bit for taking LIDS during his campaign. If I was going to cheat, I wouldn't waste my time either. But we all knew Kamala was going to be the real president anyways. The Dems just needed to get the old elite racist white male pedophile vote. I wonder how a culturally diverse and peaceful rally of Trump-supporting patriots can be called a circus, but a group of admitted anarchists called Antifa burning cities down are referred to as peaceful protesters. Why are Trump rallies super spreaders, but riots and Biden election campaign celebrations sterile? Since Biden is stealing an election and looters steal merchandise, is it possible that the lack of integrity and theft is secure for COVID? So when did the world get to the point where drug dealers are safe talking about a transaction in public, but a citizen having a conversation about their president has to be done like a drug deal? I found that sometimes, rather than getting angry, we should just stop and laugh. Like when the same people that are now telling us to peacefully accept a bogus election, up until about 30 minutes ago and for the last 4 years, were telling us to resist at all costs a legitimately elected president. Sometimes I wonder if Democrats are just people that were born without logic or self-reflection. I can't be the only one who wonders how you can teach peace through violence, unity through division, love with hate, freedom using control, calling us violent racist dividers, and simultaneously wishing Trump dead. Also, while recently trying to convince me voter interference does not exist, did you think I forgot about the last 4 years of you trying to convince me voter fraud did exist? So if Black Lives Matter wants to stop black lives from being oppressed by authority, why are they dancing in the streets after electing the authority that oppressed them? Also, if Black Lives Matter really thinks privileged white men try to control minorities, why did they allow a bunch of white privileged kids to control the minority group that was set up to stop the white privileged control of minorities? Finally, I will end with a few more things that I learned in 2020. I learned that Trump spent 4 years doing good for our country to distract us from the evil dictatorship he had planned for term two. I learned that a bunch of anonymous patriots on home computers are more effective than the DOJ with all their resources. I now understand that election interference is a big problem in our country until it isn't. We should all resist a presidency until we shouldn't, and fraud exists everywhere until it doesn't. I realize that even as a babbling idiot deplorable chump, I still may be overqualified to run as a Democrat presidential candidate. I learned that all this time I thought I had a bunch of black friends, but they didn't vote for Biden, so they were never really black at all. I learned that a man who can't keep a virus from getting in my computer is qualified to keep a virus out of me. I learned that violence is peaceful, vote parades are racist, everything Trump is contagious, truth is a conspiracy, speaking truth is fascism, and platform censorship is fact-checking. And at last, I learned that you don't have to be a from-the-hip, direct, hard truth-telling, justice-pursuing, peace-creating, economy-savvy leader of the free world, when all you really had to be was a semi-alert, racist, treasonous, extorting, compulsively lying, cheating, China-bought, hair-sniffing pedophile. I have never been one who really cared for change, and it often takes me some time to adapt. It took me years to accept that ain't is now a word in the dictionary. I made it through one degree without ever being on a computer. It took me 10 years before I actually got a cell phone. I just recently got on social media. However, I have never seen more change than I have in the last 4 years, and it often overruns the threshold of my mind. Which is why I bring you what I have learned in 2020, a special edition of Not So Deep Thoughts by Payne's Angels. In 2020, I have learned that protesters cannot get a virus as long as you loot, burn down cities, and vote for Biden. I have learned that the large outdoor gatherings are immune to COVID unless it's a funeral, party, or anything that may involve a red hat. I have learned that schools, small businesses, and churches are not safe from COVID, but hardware stores and Walmart are virus-free, unless you hold church in them.
We just had worship in Walmart!
I have learned that even with masks, it is unsafe to be incarcerated unless you are arrested for not wearing a mask. I have also learned that it is my body, my choice, unless it is mandated masks or forced vaccinations. A few years back, I learned that it was unacceptable to take a knee on the field of play. However, in 2020, I have been educated and learning it was only because the rest of the team wasn't doing it with them. I also never realized how nice it was for China to own Hollywood and athletics, bringing us hours of entertainment and one-sided politics. I have learned I was being selfish, trying to think for myself, and how much easier it has been to have a mainstream media which truly cares enough to tell me what to think.
Control, right. Exactly what people think, and that is our job.
I really got tired of having a voice from my own beliefs anyways. I have learned that it is okay to be white as long as you are embarrassed to be so. I learned that apparently black liberals, although they think most white people are racist, still prefer for indoctrinated, violent, privileged white kids to speak for them. I have learned that you don't really have to be black in order to be black. But if you truly are black, you're not really black if you're conservative. I have also learned that if you think all Black Lives Matter may not be the right club for you.
The Black Lives Matter movement was started because it was talking about police brutality. If you want an all Black Lives Matter movement that talks about gun violence in communities, including, you know, black communities, then start that movement with that name. But that's not what Black Lives Matter is about.
I have learned that violence is not really violent in the name of social justice. But if your hat is red, standing on a sidewalk is an act of violence, which requires a nonviolent beating to remind you that you are the violent fascist. I also learned that fascism isn't what I remembered. It isn't about freedom of speech, but freedom of speech except for. I know now that although it is proper to beat someone up for supporting the police, when a patriot defends himself, it is also okay to ask the police for help. It is first-degree murder to shoot in defense, but planning and executing a murder is anything but first-degree murder. The execution of a white child is less newsworthy than the death of a criminal brandishing a weapon. I have learned that impoverished and war-torn countries bring so much joy for one to handle, so moving to a crappy free-loving country like America is the only answer. I know now that being forced to have an ID to drive, fish, travel, and carry is okay, but I'm an idiot for thinking I need one to vote. I have learned that the same people that refuse to send money through our postal system are completely okay with sending a federally marked vote. In 2020, I have learned that it is okay to be a man as long as you were once a woman. It is also not okay to open the door for a woman, but it is just as wrong not to. I've learned that it's not okay to be a he, unless you are also a her, she, they, and turtle.
Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
I have learned that it is okay to be an open pedophile on Twitter, but not okay to expose those open pedophiles on Twitter. I now understand that big tech cares about us so much that it censors us for our own good, so that we do not do something we will regret down the road, like spread truth and unify a society. I've learned that free is better than freedom.
All in all, 2020 has taught me that if you are white, you should probably feel guilty about a family of racism that you are not aware of. I've learned that even if a man cannot bear a child, they should still have the right to. I learned that although I was supposed to be born with it, my bank account still laughs at my white privilege daily. I've learned a world of kids saying Beetlejuice 3 times 20 years ago ended up having some major repercussions.
It's showtime.
I've learned that we have a virus that will go dormant on November 3rd. If you offer help to a state with unlawful carnage and it is denied, it is still your fault that the cities are burning. If you declare a state of emergency, you are a dictator. But if you don't declare a state of emergency, you are a dictator. It is only acceptable to say Black Lives Matter when it involves an officer of the law. Black-on-black murders nor abortion count unless the law officer is present to blame. To sum it up, you can take the man out of the city, but even after 100 years and 250,000 white lives given to free slaves, you cannot take the white privileged, racist, bigoted, fascist, prayerful, freedom-loving hate out of the man.
All right, everybody. I hope you actually liked those videos. Like I said, not many of you have seen them before. Once I get some time, I'll load those all up on the Rumble, but they're apparently right here in this show, which will be published as soon as we get done. I plan on probably my first video that I'll be releasing, one of my newer ones, will be another version of Deep Thoughts with, or Not So Deep Thoughts with Payne's Angels. I love making them. And like I said, I'm not a comedian. The world makes the jokes for me. And it's so sad because all of that stuff is reality. And the crazy part is watching these again, knowing that I made them in 2020, how much nothing has changed. It may have gotten even worse. So anyways, guys, I hope you all enjoyed the show. I said it's going to be a little bit shorter tonight. Now it's going to time to go into a little bit of prayer before we check out for the evening. All right, everybody, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another day. Thank you for blessing us all with all the beauty that you bring to us. Thank you, dear Lord, for loving us enough to get us to where we are today. You loved us in the worst of our times. You love us in the best of our times. And we need to follow suit, Father. We need to love everybody in this world, those that we see are sleeping, those that argue with us, those that hate us, those that spit on us, dear Lord. They're still your children. They just need to wake up from that deep slumber. So, Father, I know you are working in all of our lives so that we can help those people wake up. Dear Lord, let us all stand up and do as much as we possibly can to protect the innocence of the children, to help those lost souls find that narrow path, dear Lord, so they can find you and eventually their salvation. Father, it took us, many of us, a long time to get where we are, but we are here now. And we didn't just come in lukewarm. We came in hot. And Father, we are ready to do everything that we can to serve you as much as we possibly can in this world. So I ask during these times, Father, that you give us courage, wisdom, and discernment. We're going to need it more and more. Continue to mend our armor every day, dear Lord, as we thank you for what you bless us with and repent for what we have done wrong, knowing that the next day we're going to be a little bit better than we are today. Father, there was a time when we sinned, we would just sin outwardly. But today, it just stops in our head because we know right from wrong. Dear Lord, one day, that stuff won't even come into our heads as we become better people. But dear Lord, let us never forget where we came from when we're dealing with other people. Let us tell our testimonies. Let us tell our stories to let them know that no matter where they are in life, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be porn addiction, whether it be just being a bad person, that they can come around, dear Lord. But the only way that they're going to fix and heal their lives is because of you and you working in their lives. Dear Lord, the day that we accept you into our heart, our old selves died. And we became born again in your heavenly name. And I thank you for that. And Father, I ask for a great revival, a great awakening, where more and more people desire to find that. As they reach their precipice in this world, seeing how true and real evil is, let them also realize how real your love, your grace, and your mercy is, just like we have, Father. Please continue to bless all the people that are reaching out to you in prayer. Bless Punky Brewster and her family, dear Lord. Be with her father and let him pass peacefully and enter the gates of heaven, dear Lord, so that he can watch over all of us, dear Lord, as one day we will do for others. But Father, we don't know when you're coming home. You don't know when you're coming here to take us home. So Father, I ask that you just let us remain calm during this time. Let us keep our feet and our eyes in heaven, but let us continue to work right here, serving you and doing anything that we possibly can. Let us fear not. Let us follow in the footsteps of the disciples and the apostles of old, dear Lord, and not be afraid. No matter what situation we're in, let us rise to the occasion and use it in your heavenly name. Father, thank you for just loving us. Thank you for everything that you bless us with, those things that we take for granted, those things that we recognize. Father, I see examples of your miracles every single day, and I am so grateful. And I'm so thankful, dear Lord, that you have brought us all together with this beautiful and wonderful family that we have right here with us. Dear Lord, everyone is stepping up and doing what they can, but many of us feel like we can be doing more. So speak to us, Father, but also allow us to open up our hearts, our souls, and our ears so that we can hear what you're asking us to do. Father, let us fear not in anything that we head out onto, knowing that you're going to bless us with everything that we need to complete our missions. Let us all remember that none of us are above the other. We're on equal grounds, dear Lord. Let us humble ourselves, let go of the egos, help each other in the mission, because it's all the big same mission in the long run, Father, and that is eventually getting into heaven, finding you in our hearts, that salvation, and those of us that have found it, helping others find what we have, dear Lord. But let us also not forget to continue to work in our own lives so that we can better ourselves every single day, because we have a long ways to go. You are the only one that walked this earth sin-free. Father, we deal with temptation every single day. The devil tries to tempt us and distract us. So I ask, Father, that you put a hedge of protection over everyone and keep that temptation and that distraction away from us. Let us stay focused. Let us have your wisdom and discernment so that we can complete the missions that you have set us on. Father, I also ask that you continue to bless Steve and help him get back on his feet and start walking again, dear Lord, after his great surgery. But I just want to thank you for the miracle that you have, keeping him alive, keeping him in good spirits, keeping him right where he needs to be so that he can go through his physical therapy right now to get back and do exactly what he needs to do. And that is get into this great battle that we are all walking into. Father, I just want to thank you for blessing all of our people like Nemo and helping them through their illness and all the other prayers that I have seen you answer over and over again, Father. And I ask you just to answer the prayers of the prayers that I can't remember right now, because every day I see so many people reaching out for prayers, it becomes overwhelming in some place. But they're reaching out in prayer is because they know that you are the only answer. And we love you so much for that. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the very first episode of on our Rumble of Kilted Christian, episode 579, Not So Deep Thoughts. We'll be back tomorrow for our second airing on Rumble. Keep on continuing over here on Podbean as well. We've got Steve Lundgren from Patriot Transition Voice joining me with special guest Patricia Silva, who was the one who was kind of started the boycott, the one that actually walked into the man at Planet Fitness. So she's a phenomenal person. She is a great interviewer. She was on Shemaine's show on television not too long ago. If you guys definitely get on there and check that one out as well. We are so blessed. I'm so blessed to have Steve back with me, and just continue to pray for Jeff as well so that he can come back on, because I know he wanted to be here tonight. He just wasn't feeling well, and I know he really wants to get back to doing Brothers in the Bible, as I do too. But moving forward, we're going to be on Rumble. Every show from here on out during the week will be 9 o'clock. Remember that Book of Heaven will be on Mondays right here. We'll have the official Godcast will be on Fridays, 9 o'clock, right here. And then we will be doing fireside prayers and a gathering on the weekends on Saturday. Brothers in the Bible, once we get Jeff back up on his feet. But guys, I love y'all very, very much. I thank you so much for joining this evening and dealing with the nerves. I think I got over them a little bit as the show went on. I was just worried about glitches and technical. Once I get acclimated to doing all this, guys, I'll be back and I'll be chatting with you. I was not able to do so tonight because I was looking and making sure everything was working right, and reminding myself how to use the switcherboard and OBS. Once again, also remind us, see Black Dragon Radio in here will be joining us next Wednesday as well for another great conversation, which I'm looking for as well. So, guys, I love y'all very, very much, and we're gonna end the shows a little bit differently. It'll end with the national anthem I'll be bringing to you. So I'm gonna end with my normal extra, and that is, remember this: God wins. So fear not, stress not. Let go of all of your anxiety. Pray, pray, pray more than you ever have. Spread that gospel from nation to nation. And remember that God will give you everything that you need in this mission. And we need each other as well. Have an absolutely beautiful night. I love you all. And God bless.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that